Sadi Dalit. We are on the second paragraph, the paragraph from the bottom. Al Tisna Esachicha Eschavercha. Bibnei Ahava Eschavercha Hasayne Oisai. Okay, this is a very interesting idea. Okay, on page Sadi Dalit. Sadi Dalit. On the bottom of the page, bottom paragraph, do not hate your friend because someone else told you to hate him. You have a very, very good friend. Very good friend. And he says to you, it's either me or him. I see that you're talking to this other guy. I see, we're good friends. And I see that you go and you talk to him. You talk to him. Don't you know? You know that we are enemies. We are bitter, bitter enemies. I cannot tolerate that my friend is a friend with my enemy. So therefore, it's either, you got to choose. It's either him or me. If you wanted to continue to have a relationship with me, then you have to sever your relationship with him. Isn't that a
very common.
Okay. You know who said that on a global stage and it turned out to be a big disaster? Bush W. After the Twin Towers were attacked, he said, you're either with us or you're against us. Okay, that's exactly what he said.
Well, that's what Yeshua said. The Malach said to Yeshua, Alonu atoim litzareinu.
That's different. That's a little bit different. I mean, you're coming to attack us, so you're on our team. You're saying you can't have both. You can't maintain your relationship with us and also have a relationship with our enemies. Okay, sanctions. Isn't that what sanctions is all about? Okay, any country that does business with Iran, you cannot have a relationship with us. It's a big stick approach to do. So he writes here, so you have this on the world politics, and you have this in shul.
Well, you have it all the time in a family, where a child does something which one parent says very inappropriate, and the other parent does not.
But that's already a whole different story. That's a whole story of parenting, when you have two parents and mixed messages. That's a disaster.
You basically that's say, a different... are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution?
No, but it's worse. There, it's not only that. You can be powerful. That's not the issue.
I understand.
I don't want you to be powerful. I have an issue with so-and-so. He's my biggest enemy. And I don't want my friends having a relationship, even though the relationship you have with him has nothing to do with me. You have a relationship over an entirely different matter. My hatred for him is so great, I cannot tolerate that anyone that I have dealings with should have a friendship with my enemy. It's an extreme. So he says, Altisna eschavercha, do not. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to listen. If someone gives you this ultimatum, so get rid of him. You're not allowed to do that. Altisna eschavercha, you may not hate your friend, mimnei, because ahavas chavercha hasoyne oisoy. Only because the love for your friend who hates that person. The friend that you love told you to hate him, so I have no choice. Because my closest friend told me I should hate that other fellow, I should hate him, so I will. I want, it's important to me to maintain my relationship with this person, even if that means that I have to disassociate with someone else.
The problem is, whether or not you could ask him the reason, but then it'll be Lashon Hara, probably.
Well, every case, well, you know what the reasons are. Right. We don't live in a world, we're not living under a rock. Obviously, you can't generalize. Every situation is obviously very, very different. We're discussing over here an extreme. We're not discussing over here a case where the person is causing the problem. We're discussing an extreme case. In an extreme case, you have a person who is bitter against a person for whatever the reason. And whatever happened, mashahoya kavarahoya, it's over. And now you have another friend, and you see that your other friend has a relationship with your enemy. Again, let's discuss a case where the issues are dead. They're no longer, this was an event which happened 20 years ago. It's over. It's not relevant anymore. But the hatred lingers. Hatred, we all know, can take on a life of itself. And now you are going to an extreme. You're demanding of your friend, do not have a relationship with that fellow because he 20 years ago he did something horrible to me. Never asked me mechila, and that's it. I can't deal with it. I don't. That's an extreme thing. If right now the issue is going on, it's alive, he's stealing, he owes me money, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's abusing my children. So all of a sudden the issues are alive, so maybe in a chanami, that situation may be different. Okay, that maybe Bush is right. If you want to go and you want to support terrorists and you also want to do business with the United States, Trump says the same thing. So right now the issue is alive. So maybe that's a different story. But let's discuss a simple case of where there's no issue of money, there's no issue of abuse, there's an issue which happened in a different generation. It's long over. The matter is dead. But hate and grudges and bad feeling live on. We all know it. What? It stays. Not only family, that's the way it is. You see a person, I know people that I see that said such nasty things to me 25 years ago. Whenever I see them, I see them right away, that memory comes to mind. And everyone here in the room is like that. Everyone has certain things that they're very sensitive to, which to other people doesn't make a bit of sense, but for whatever reason it is, to you, it means something too. That's the way it is. No one understands how these things work. And if someone goes and attacks those sensitive points in your life, it hurts, and you get very upset, and you may suppress it, but it's always there, always lingers. And even though it's not relevant, I mean, this is 25 years ago, who cares? Mashai Kvar Hayo, who cares? That's life. And now you want to take that and you want to say to someone else, you have a relationship with this person, I don't want to talk to you then. That's a little bit extreme. That's an extreme type of situation.
And
the
he's saying to say it to somebody else. He's saying don't take it on yourself to do that.
That's obviously what he means. You have to read between the lines. And not everything over here is so literal. Al tisne es chavercha. Do not hate your friend only because, mibnei because, ahavas chavercha hasoni oisa.
Maybe it's like your decision not to talk to the other fellow.
That's even more extreme. That's even more extreme.
It's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy.
Or no. Yeah.
The only one who you allow to hate is one that Hashem says to hate. Another very fascinating thing. This is very, very interesting. Because sometimes what will happen, your friend says to you, you know what? I don't want you to have anything to... It's either me or him. Either me or him. If you continue your relationship with him, then I don't want to talk to you. So this fellow is, okay, you know what? You're my closest friend. If that's what you want, okay, fine. I will sever my relationship with that person. He severs, and now by severing his relationship, they become enemies, right? They become enemies. Then a couple of weeks later, I make peace with my enemy. I make peace with him. So now I'm jolly, I'm best friends with my previous enemy. But my ex-enemy is now enemies with my friend. Because since I made a demand that you should not dare have anything to do with him. And you listen to me, and by listening to me now, the two of you are enemies. So what happens later when I make peace with my enemy? But these two are still going to be enemies. So the collateral damage will go on forever. Is that clear what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Right? So this is something that...
The whole Middle East right now.
The whole world. Let me give you a very, very, very... Someone told me this made a very big impression upon me. He's talking about Hasidim. Different types of Hasidim, Litvaks. So he said, I probably told you the story. It's a very good story. There was a wealthy man who had daughters. He married off two of his daughters to son-in-laws, and he supported them lock, stock, and barrel. First son-in-law had a mishigas. He was a vegetarian. Mishigas, a vegetarian, only did not want to touch meat. Maybe it was whatever. So when this Aiden came to his home to eat, he was there very often, he served him only milkshakes. Only because he was a vegetarian. That was his mishigas. And whatever the Aiden wants, he served him milkshakes. Served him the best, okay, the most expensive dairy meals. Then he married off his second daughter. And the second son-in-law is allergic, lactose intolerant. lactose intolerant. Allergic to milk. Allergic to dairy products. So when this Aiden came, he didn't want to serve him power of food. It's his son-in-law. No, he has to show off for the Edom. And he was a very wealthy man, so he served him the best of the best, most expensive meat. What happens? They both come. They both come every night for dinner. Right? They both come every night for dinner. So what does he do? So for the Edom, he doesn't want to... It's for the Edom that is the vegetarian. He serves on one table. He has two dining rooms. In this dining room, he feeds the son-in-law and his daughter and all the grandchildren who are only eating milchiks because they're all vegetarians. And in the other dining room, he serves the second son-in-law who he serves them fleishiks. And this goes on and on and on. They never sit down at the same table. Because the halacha is, if you eat milchiks and you're eating fleishiks, you cannot sit at the same table. Vayihi hayoim, this wealthy man lost his fortune. He lost all his money. And he fell on hard times. And he only could afford to serve parva food. So he buys parva food for both the first son-in-law and the second son-in-law. He brings them the food, they're sitting down. The first son-in-law is sitting in this dining room. And the second son-in-law is sitting in the other dining room. Is the other dining room. So he says to the son-in-laws, listen, we're eating parif. There's no excuse anymore for you to sit in this room and you to sit in this room. We're eating parif. We can all sit together now. No. We're used to sitting here. They're used to sitting here. Even though Taka, we're eating parif, so what? They still sit in their own separate rooms. They don't want to look at each other. So the Rebbe said, what is this a marshal for? What's the nimshul? He says, it used to be in the three dictatorials, I'll even use names, there was a Satma. And there was an Aguda. And Satma and Aguda, they don't see eye to eye. Satma eats fleishiks, Aguda eats milchik, so whatever you want to say. There was these Hasidim and these Hasidim, they don't see eye to eye. Each one's hashkafa is anathema to the other. They cannot sit at the same table. That's taka the way it was, and that's taka the way it had to be. Because the hashkafas are so different, it just would not work. But today, in 2019, Limisbottom, Tosh 9-10, Satna, they're not eating fleishik. Aguda is not eating milchiks. This one is not eating that. Today, we're all diluted to such a degree, we're all eating parif. Today, nothing means anything to anyone. All of the hashkafas that were etched in stone and you would die for, your hashkafa, your way of life, and when your values and your relationship to the Medina, your relationship to this and to this, it's all today, we all know the truth. It means nothing anymore. We're all eating parif today. If we're all eating parif, so why is everyone sitting at different tables? Years ago, it made sense to sit at different tables. It wouldn't work. It really wouldn't work. But today, it's parif, so we can sit at the same table. Isn't that a good story? That's the Rebbe, a very, very big Rebbe said this story. So
the war, by the Hasidim didn't mix with the...
Right, they were different. It was a different world. It was a different world. It was a very different world today. It's the big melting pot. It's the big melting pot today. For many, many reasons, it's a different type of world today. There are different issues. What were issues years ago, not issues today. And we see already this already very big taruvis. So today, why is it so hard today? Today it should be easier to join, to come together for the greater good. And still, we don't. We still demand that we sit at different tables, even though we're all today eating parif. Okay, that is the mashal. It's an outgrowth out of this. It's over here, because what's going to happen? The Eser HaSis says, because the day is going to come, that the original two enemies will make peace. But the fellow who is caught as collateral damage, they'll never come back and make peace. Okay, the Hasidim are the ones who always make very often you have the two people on the top. They have a machloikis l'shem shemayim, And who gets all caught up in the machloikis l'shem shemaim? All the chassidim, all of the students. The students like to expand the machloikis to a point that's out of control. And then the day comes when the two leaders, they sit down at the same table. They make peace with each other. But the chassidim, who have gotten involved in fist fights, were trying to kill each other, they can never come and sit down at the same table, even though their leaders have come to sit down at the same table. Because the sin, he's saying something very, very brilliant, very, very profound. The two original people had a machlekes, it wasn't sin aschina. It was good cause. It was really good cause. The reason why the two leaders, the two original people who were fighting, did not want to come together, they hate each other, is because there's a dispute over a real matter. But when one of these two makes demands on other people out there that they should disassociate with my enemy, that's sinas chinam. There's no reason why they need to get involved in this hatred. You have a taina. He owes you money. He doesn't owe that person money. So if he doesn't owe you, if he owes me $1 million, he doesn't owe you $1 million, so why should you hate him? I should hate him. Because I have a good reason to hate him. But he didn't steal your money, so why are you hating him? So why are you hating him then? Sinas chinam. I told you to. That's nonsense, I told you to. You want to hate him? It's sinas chinam. The day comes, he pays me back $1 million. So now I have no reason to hate him. So I love him. But you, whose hatred is all built upon chinam, if you hated him for nothing then, you'll hate him for nothing now. That will never go away. He's a psychologist. Okay, the Sefer Chassidim is a psychologist. Next halacha. The Alti Baz L'chal Adam Shein L'cha Adam Shein L'ay Sh'ah. Beautiful halacha. Okay, this is right out of Pirkei Avos. Just general halacha, Pirkei Avos. Do not despise anyone. Every person in this world has a purpose. Everyone has their unique quality in life. Like we learned last week, the word nefesh, the whole essence of a nefesh, Rashi says, is something that is irreplaceable. When it leaves this world, every person has their moment. Every person has their moment in the sun. Every person you will eventually need to come on to. The people that you have seen so many times, how the people who you think, this guy, what do I know, what do I care for him? I just make a step on him. You never know. Hashem has a sense of humor, comes around. I once got into a lot of trouble. It was a very, very, very big lesson in life. I had an email on a project, and there was a group of people from all different. It was a marketing campaign for a Jewish cause, and there were different outlets, media outlets that were participating, and there was an email exchange, and a person there did something very, very nasty. Very, very disgusting. So I just kept my mouth shut. I didn't respond once, twice. And if I knew the people, if I would actually deal with them every single day, I wouldn't open my mouth because I need to deal with these people on a daily basis. I can burn my bridges. So I thought, this guy, you know, I'll never see my whole life. He lives way, way out of town for a little, no shaykhs of them. And it's so nasty what he wrote, what he said, what he did. You know what? I said after three times, I said, "Let me let out some steam." let me let out some steam. So I typed back some real, real nasty stuff myself, letting him have what I think of him. Right? What could be? I'll never see this guy my whole life, right? I'll never see him. Sure enough, one day I was in the place, and he says, "What's your name?" "Oh, you were the guy sending that email." And I'm like, wow. It didn't change anything because, you know, like, you deserve what you got, whatever. But like, it was very uncomfortable for me because I was now in his presence and I had to, whatever, I didn't have to deal with him, but I was there with him. And it was very uncomfortable being so. Isn't that scary? You never, never know. You always have to deal with every single person in the most responsible way, not to be sloppy. She'ein l'cha adam, she'ein lo sha'ah. Now, the sha'ah doesn't just mean, doesn't have his time. That you, I'm trying to say something homiletic here, Perkei Avos, is that Ein Lech Adam She'ein Loi, Lo goes back on you. On you, not on him. The time will come when Lo, when you will have your moment with him. You hear the drush? The simple translation of these words are, every person is chosh, every person in this world has their hour in the limelight. You have a whole life, and maybe very plain and simple, but no, there'll come a time when everyone will need to come on to you. I'm not saying that. That's a given. It means, in my eyes, what do I care about this guy? She'ein l'cha adam. There's no person in this world that you come in contact with, she'ein loy, loy goes back on me, where there's not going to be for me a she'ah, a time when I will need him. I will need to come on to him. And if he is buzzed, if he is despised in my eyes, when I need to come on to him for his goodwill, I'm not going to have it. Mida k'neged mida. If you're garbage in my eyes, then when I need to come onto you, then I'm garbage in your eyes. That's the way it is. Mida k'neged mida. K'mayim panim al panim. Making noise?
Yeah.
What's making? Okay, the battery's out. The battery's out. Can you do me a favor? Can you give me new batteries over there? It's behind the thing over there.
It's not the same meaning.
What?
As we have shepherd.
Right, that's another story. She'ein going back on yourself. Okay, next. Halach Ein Zayin. Oiz. Hashem Oiz Liyavo Yite. Next. Altal de Neshavercha Lekav Choyva. No, Allah did not judge a person Lekav Choyva. Ki Adam Yire Le Naim. Never, do not make assumptions. Always be down Lekav Schus. The Hashem Yire La Levav. Lo Yadata Ma Beliba Ma Machshavta. Thank you very much. So many batteries. No batteries. Until Mashiach comes. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we're back in business now. We're back in business.
Must be a math
joke. Okay, we're back in business. Shashem ki adam yireh le'inayim v'ashem yireh le'levav v'lo yodata ma b'libash. You don't know what's in the person's heart. Ma b'machshavta v'hevi donas kolom l'kav skos. Always be down l'kav skos. Ushmar inecha me'ro'os b'ra'ah v'aseitz. Always guard your eyes me'ro'os b'ra'ah. V'aseitz tzedaka k'fi koychacha. He's telling you, grouping together many different things. Do not look what you're not supposed to. Give tzedaka according to what you can give. Echad amar v'echad amamit. Ulvad shichav v'libo l'shamayim. Shabed atzvo l'koyncha. You should be meshabed. You shall give yourself over, commit yourself to your creator. V'sachshu b'libcha shechol adam shemer avodav al achas kama v'kama sheyish morcha riboin ha'olamim. He's telling us a technique in acknowledging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking out for your good. If you are a master, remember he's writing a little here 800 years ago. I guess they still had slaves in those days. And in the world, a person always wants to make sure that his slaves are in good condition. I guess that you have to substitute this with your car. Do you take your car in for an oil change? Do you take in your, do you do maintenance in your home? Of course. What? Preventive maintenance. Do you take care of yourself? Do you go to the doctor? People, they take care of their possessions. If a human being takes care of his possessions, al achas kama v'kama, the Ribbono shel Olam takes care of his possessions. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out there for your benefit. He's looking for your good. He's not looking to make life for you difficult. Ayin ches. Al tavi atzmecha lidei avera kala. This one. Do not bring yourself lidei avera kala. Ki hi yivyacha lidei chamura. Okay, this is the slippery slope syndrome. You just do a little avera. A little avera takes you to do a big avera. Ovar al loy sisna, a person violates al sisna soif bali de shvichas tamim, and he's coming to an extreme. If you just if you allow a small amount of hate to enter into your heart, it will ultimately lead, and it will mushroom into shvichas tamim. Shnemar v'chiyah ish soine lirei ehu. First, it starts with sinna, the orav loy. You lie in ambush. The kama love you call nafesh, and then you ultimately will murder. Okay, it starts off small and leads to very big things. Do not associate with people that you will not learn from. Ki oy loy ve oy lenafsho, woe to you, neshama ve oy shetigrim sheyach sheducha bidavara. If you associate with evil people and they are caught, they are suspected of doing averos, they will suspect you as well. Ki yoimru, ki lo yalchinim halach ze etzlo. It's not for nothing that you associate with him. V'chol yitlu kol ha'masav ha'ra'im. Okay, you are guilty by association. U'cheshe tishal aladam asher tirtzel l'hischaber imo. When you want to make inquiries, is it kedai for you to be part of him? Sha'al mi re'ehu, who are his friends? Who are the people that does like this person? And when you will be amongst the people, you will you should conduct yourself. The word hisroea is a hard word to translate. I don't have a good translation of this word. Hisroea, a friend.
To be friend,
you have Ishwa Dulami. It says Vireyu Yehuda had a friend, right?
Yeah.
Reyu. The word over here is the Shurish is a Reya. A Reya means a friend. So here it means to be friendly. His Roeya Litoiv. Ish Li Reyu. It's similar. Very good. Ish Reyu. Al ken geshu besoich am his roea litoiv vi altis roea lira. You should seek out good friends. Seek out good friends. Do not seek out bad friends. Pen Torah kamahu. Or when you also, furthermore, when you're friendly, when you conduct yourself with your friends, behave in a good way. Do not influence them to do evil. Kamahu kishadaber belaila hashbel kolcha. When you speak at night, a lot of different things. When you talk at night. Hashbel kolcha, lower your voice, don't disturb those the people that are sleeping. Uchesheh tedaber b'yom habeit sivusecha, when you walk around, when you talk during the day, look around you, don't say things that are going to cause people in your vicinity pain. V'zor b'dvarecha kya koysel shacharecha, and be careful because the wall is behind you. In other words, the wall has ears. A person dies, stumbles in what he says. He does not stumble when he walks. When a person stumbles with his tongue, you can't take back your words. But when a person stumbles with his legs, so you go to the doctor. The doctor will put you in crutches and fix your legs and you will be repaired. Kishon Raglov, Yirape, Lorutz Ma'at, you'll be able to run a little bit also. If you break your legs, you'll go to the doctor, he'll fix your legs, you'll be able to walk home on crutches slowly until they heal. But if you slip, if your tongue slips, and you say something nasty, you can't take it back. The damage that you can do with your tongue is eternal. The insult that you give another person, they will never, ever forget. People have a very hard time and never forget an insult. And there's no way you can undo it, unlike bones that can be repaired, sticks and stones, or the other way around. That thing you teach children, when you teach children is mamish das balabayis, hepuch midas Torah. What do you say with a child? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never harm me. That is Kineged Kol HaTorah Kula. Sticks and stones will break my bones. That's right, they'll break my bones. But at least your bones can be repaired. You go to a good doctor, you don't want to go to a good doctor, he'll put your bones back together. Humpty Dumpty, he'll put all the pieces back together. But names will never harm me. Yeah, you're right. it's not going to cause you physical harm, but it'll cause you psychological harm. And it'll change your attitude and your relationship to the person who spoke bad about you, and you'll hate him for the rest of your life. So that statement, that nursery rhyme that you say to your children, people say to children, is mamish completely, completely the opposite of what it says here on the bottom of the page, Tzadi Vav, in the Sefer Chassidim. Ki b'chishloin l'shoinoi, names, you call someone a name, you say something nasty, yosires rosho, he'll chop off your head for that one day. You say something nasty to someone, doesn't cause me any harm. That's right. Didn't cause me any harm. You called me a nasty comment, but I hate you. And that hate will, it's like a seed in the ground. It will mushroom, it will blossom, it will sprout, it will grow, it will mushroom, and the day will come when you'll tell your children, your grandchildren, and the hatred grows and grows and grows until one day it will lead to shvichas tamim. But if you break someone's bones by mistake, so you go to the doc, you pay the, it was an accident, you pay the deductible, so you, your bones are, they'll give you, you'll, they'll fix you up, you'll be, you're good as new. The chilshon raglov yirape lorutz ma'at, you'll be able in a short time to be able to walk around, and eventually you'll be able to walk around. So this line over here is mamish kineged, sticks and stones will break my bones, when names will never harm me, mamish pum fakert. What it says here in Chazal, you have more and more often, like Bush W, we had a very great, good discussion Shabbos afternoon after the funeral of the senior Bush. When C, what's how do they refer to Bush, this Bush senior? How do they refer to him? Verse
Bush
41? Bush 41? Yeah. Bush W and Bush 41.
41 so, and 43.
45. But how do they call? They call Bush W. They call the second one. The second one. But when the old Bush died, Bush 41 died, what were the first words of Bush W and his Levi? He said the Gevaldik line. I love that line. He said, it's said about man that he should die young, as late as possible. It's a very good. One more time. It's said about man, he should die young, as late as possible. So what does that mean? It means that he should live a long, long life, or you should stay young, fresh, vibrant. You should be like a youngster your whole life. So it sounds great, right? What does Chazal say about that? How would you look at that line from the perspective of Chazal? I mean, it sounds good. Or you can say, the Avraham Zokain Baba Yomim. Vashem Berach es Avraham Bakol. Chazal often give milos to zikna, to die old, with all of its connotations. Because zikna brings with it stature, zikna brings with it azeshakana chachma, wisdom. The Chazal said that until who's the first one to get? I think it was Yitzchak was the first one. Vayhi ki zokein Yitzchak.
Get old, you know, sick.
Not that I was getting sick was Yaakov,
right.
But to get old, I think it was the first one that until the time Chazal. It's very hard thing to understand what this means.
No, Yitzchak Avraham.
No, when a person was 20 years old, he looked 20 years old your whole life. That's what Chazal say. Your person was born like when you reach maturity. When you reach 20 years old, you look like you're 20 years old. That look of 20 years old never changed until the person died, even 120 years old. You didn't go to the longevity center. You don't need to go with special pills and special dyes for your hair. You look young, 20 until the very last day of your life. When did that change? When Yitzchak, Avraham Yitzchak, they were walking in the streets. Avraham was Avraham, and Yitzchak was Yitzchak, he was a mature adult. No one can tell them apart. They looked like identical twins.
So why then Sarah said, no, Avraham is old.
I don't know the answer. Here it says that we're old, we can't have children. We can't have children. So I guess even though they look young, I guess physically it came a point in time. I hear what you're saying. I don't know the answer. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. But it's a good point. Isn't it totally zebizeh? If you look 20 years old, so lachar, you should be physically, you can have children until you're 120 years old. I don't know. So Avraham said, this is not a good idea. It's not good for the world that a father and a son should look like twins, it takes away from respect. The new generation has to learn to recognize and respect the older generation. So he was mispalel to Hashem that people, as they get older, should look old. Their age should be noticeable on their face. Avraham was at the Akedah, was 137 years old. And Yitzhak was 37 years old. Aaron was 100 years old when Yitzhak was born. And Yitzchak at the Akedah was 37 years old. So Avram was 137 years old, and Yitzchak was 37 years. And before that, at some point in time, I don't know exactly what point this time, this is in the Medrash, he was misspelled that people should look old in order that there should be respect. Now, how he got, I don't know how he got that, but I want to go back to one important thing that it says over here. One important thing before we continue that over here, it says that you should associate with good people, with good people. The beginning of Halacha Pei began. Tishal al adam asher tirtzel l'tzchaba imo sh'al ask mi re'eu, who are his friends. So I heard this already from a few people. People, parents today are pulling out their hair, finding a school for their children. Okay, you live in Flatbush. You have a choice. You have unlimited choices. And today, because the population is diminishing very rapidly, you can get into any school you want. No one's going to turn you down to get into any school you want. Every school today, because there are no people in Flatbush. Everyone is running away. Any school you want.
That's why they're closing down.
I don't know. Everyone's running away. So you want to go to Chaim Berlin, you can get in. You want to go to Harvadas, you can get in. You want to go to Mir Yeshiva, you can get in. You want to go to anyone. You list it there, they'll take you with open arms. And they'll listen to all of your complaints. Just don't take your child out of the yeshiva. Okay, just keep your child in and give us a tuition. Paid tuition, you're good. So where should you send your child? Okay, girls' schools. Where should you send your daughter? I heard this right from people. Same, very fascinating. The same thing. I have a girl. There's unlimited choices in Flatbush. Where to send your children? Lakewood, you don't have a limited choice. Lakewood, there, it's booming. Girl. They tell you where they tell you where your child's going to go because there are no open slots. They showed. I mean, it's very interesting. Going on a tangent, but it's very interesting is that they cursing at all the schools. How come you don't take, how can you turn down students? And then I saw a picture of a classroom. I actually saw a picture of one of the classrooms in one of the schools. Then you understand. Literally, there is no place to sit. Literally. Money. You know how much it costs? You know the astronomical cost of what everything costs? There's literally, physically, no space. What? It took many years. It took decades to build up what we have here today. And now everyone doesn't want it. Everyone's running away. Go somewhere better. And it costs just as much to live here as it costs to live here. The cost, everything evens out. The cost of living is all the same. But anyway, so where do you send your children? So I heard this from so many people. When it comes to boys, they all say, especially high schools, it doesn't make one bit of a difference. You can close your eyes. All the yeshivas are the same. The only thing you should look for in sending your child, a boy, to especially to a high school, because eventually you don't really know, is who are the boys in the class. Who are going to be his chaverin? You don't really know. No one knows what the future is going to bring. No one can tell. But you get an idea. You're entitled to get an idea. Who are going to be the boys in your son's class in ninth grade? Who are the parents? Who is the parent body? Get a sense of what kind of home his chaverim come from. That's the only thing that makes a difference. This yeshiva, that yeshiva, a rich yeshiva, a poor yeshiva, they have clean floors, they have marble floors, they have better rebbeim, they have no rebbeim, they have teachers, they do teach, they don't teach. It's total baloney and nonsense. It's just a glorified babysitting service, what goes on in the yeshivas. So what makes a difference when the day is over? Who are his chaverim? Because the chaverim are going to make the difference in the way in his life. girls' schools, the same people said to me, no. There it's different. Girls are different. Men are from Mars. Women are from Venus. Girls, they have friends. They're very clicky. It's a different, whole different. But girls are much more into the teachers. They're much more influenced by the administration. And there, what kind of child do you have? What kind of product do you want? Do you want this type of product, that type of product? There, you should take it more seriously, the administration and the teachers and the people that will be teaching them, than the chaverim. The chaverim also, obviously, you know, it's a balance. But it's an amazing insight, is that my boys don't even have a havamina to go look at a yeshiva, because of a rebbe. What's a rebbe? 1 year. They're 4 years. It's only one rebbe for 2-3 hours a day. What about the rest of the day? What about the rest of the day? The only thing that counts are who are the chaverim. At least in this generation. Maybe years ago it was a little bit different. I don't know if it was different. And that's exactly what it says. It's exactly the Sefer HaChassidim. Over and over you see how way ahead of his time he was. When you want to go and join up with other people, who are the kids in the class? Just because this yeshiva has a great name, wow, they have such great rebbeim, who cares they're a great rebbeim? How much time do the rebbeim spend with the kids anyway? The rebbeim are going to remain. Who are the chaverim? That's who they're going to live with. You're going to be part of a group of people. That's what counts. They're with you your whole life, your chaverim. And if the chaverim are not good chaverim, if these kids that you know, they come from this trouble. Okay, today we know these are troublesome people. Then you know, got to think twice. Maybe this is not the best environment. And I have another group of people, and these are good, solid kids, good homes. I know the parents. I know the families. They're good, solid people. New, the rebbeim. No, not the best rebbeim. They don't teach. No one's teaching anything anymore. Okay? The glorified babysitting service, that is what will make the difference. All right, we're going to stop here, take a very short break, and we'll do lum some yoni pudim.
I had a meeting yesterday with my grandchildren. Well, I don't know what the end was.